Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Restored Community Church. Wow. Welcome to Restored Community Church. Man, you get the dudes a little sleepy. Mama's tired of chasing the kids around all weekend without dad. It just gets messy in here. Okay. Welcome to Restored. I'm Rob. If you're new here. If you're new here, we're extremely glad you're here. You've come upon a kind of a cool Sunday for us, Restored Community Church. We just got back from a men's retreat, a time, oh, grunt, and of the Lord. Amen. Grunt, fellas. Amen. As I said earlier, we saw 20 dudes, 20 guys give their lives to Jesus this weekend. And so we're blown away by that. We had a really cool time of worship, some different kind of worship, and 120 sweaty, nasty dudes loving Jesus all in one small little space. Amen. And so it was a cool weekend. Last night we ended it with some time of prayer, and I got to lead through with some time of testimonies and some things God put on my heart, and God was just moving. And so if you were there, fellas, I'm glad you were there. If you didn't get to go, there's always next year. And we do it every year at a Morningstar, same time. There's a ladies' retreat coming up in April, and so ladies, start processing that. I'm always dumbfounded by how I say something for 5 months, and then 2 weeks before, no one's ever heard me talk about it before. And so there is a women's retreat coming. It's already in our calendar for those of you who use our Church Community Builder, our app. And so anyway, that's in there. And so as we move forward this morning, thank you for everybody who's shown up and has been doing building project with stuff with us. You are tireless workers, and so for the last week and a half, we've been working at our new place at 255 South Estelle, and you continue to ask me when we're moving, and I continue to say, I'm not sure. And so we've pulled out enough stuff to where we have to put certain things back, and so that we can get things going, and that takes fundage. And so we're praying through that, and we're looking to purchase some carpet and continue painting. Some of the guys, Jason Lavender's guys, are up there painting this week, have done an amazing job. Got some tile going in. We're going to make sure the toilets flush almost every time, and it's going to be amazing. And then after we move in, there will be projects that will continue, but we have a bunch of other churches that want to partner with us and help us with that. And so we need everybody working, and we need everybody giving. Above and beyond, we've asked you guys that you would pray, and if you and your family can give $20 or $2,000, every piece helps. But don't exclude yourself. This is family. This is taking care of our home that God has given us, and so we're all a part of that. Sometimes I feel like I talk about it up here and people wait for other people to do it. Let me say this. It is in desperate, dire need that we all help and jump in and pitch in as family. Amen? So we need everybody given towards this purpose, and what I'm excited about is I want to get there and keep moving on. We have far more important ministry things to do. We're not going to get stuck on building mode for 2 years and where we are. We want to move in, work as we go, but we have big things on the agenda with the neighborhood and running for Jesus and missions and house churches, and so we just want to get it done and get there. Amen? We don't want to drag this thing out, but we need all of us to get in on that. So for those of you who don't know where it is, it's 255 South Estelle. It's like Kellogg and Hillside area. We send out maps and stuff on our email. Sign up on that piece of paper you got this morning to be a part of that. As we move into testimony time this morning, every once in a while, we'll have a service a couple times a year where we just have people come and share their testimony. And we've been doing it since probably the first few months of a church, almost 9 years ago, where many of you in this room have sat up here nervously, shaking with the microphone and their papers. Dustin, and just up here sharing. Some people came up here in 7 minutes. Some people told me it was going to be 7 minutes and took 40. And so, but it's good because, man, sermons are great, right? Especially around here, the sermon quality is, my goodness, the sermon quality is amazing. Let's praise the Lord for a minute. And by the way, I don't think that. And so if you do, praise the Lord. But what's more important is to see it actually fleshed out in the lives of the people who sit in the seats and work. And so testimony service for us, a testimony is just, it's like you're in a courtroom. And you're testifying before a judge and before a jury what you saw about a certain circumstance. So that same word is the root word for Christians who testify. We're called to testify of God's glory and his goodness in our lives. Amen? And our testimonies are powerful. And the reason why I love this room and why this works well for us is you guys are amazing people. like, and I'm not just saying this because you pay my paycheck. I would say this. I said this when you didn't pay my paycheck. Is that you guys are amazing people. This is what I love. There's so much brokenness and jacked upness in here, which makes for a great hard story. It's a great Dateline thing, right? But the better thing about the church is when Jesus hits it and people are obedient and life change not only comes, but they actually become restorers who go in and race after other people. That is the most powerful story on the face of the earth. There is nothing more powerful than a broken man or woman. I mean, I'm not just saying broken. I mean, some of y'all are busted, right? Completely torn apart. And the Lord, your family legacy has been horrible, and you've been abused, and you've abused people, and you got dope addict, and you're a worry wart, and you idolize your kids. All those things are going on. But man, when the Lord touches his people and breaks it and changes it, what other story is? Do you know the theme of the Bible is God's restoration? It's Jesus who is the ultimate restorer. Amen? So when we get up and we share with each other, and we share with people, we are, Pastor Jimmy Seibert, one of my favorite pastors that I listen to, he said, every time we share our story, we set another person free to do the same thing. Our greatest place of brokenness can become our greatest place of ministry if we let God do his work in us. So the things that are the heaviest on your lives, the things that are the most broken are like rocket fuel when God ignites it for his glory. And some of you are like, well, I'm such a bad person. We've had such a hard time. I've done so many bad things. Okay, but where in life are you going to receive grace, repent, follow after Jesus, and let him use that nugget of truth? It's true. You've screwed up, right? You're busted. You've done dumb things. How many of you could testify to doing dumb things? Said hurtful things, hurt people, right? Sinned. You're a sinner, but you are saved by grace, and you are called to testify to God's goodness. Amen? And so that's why we do these little services, and every time somebody shares, that day there's a visitor or somebody new or somebody struggling with something sitting in these seats, and their lives are rocked by what they hear up here. And every single time we've had a testimony service over the years, somebody's heart has been rocked and changed by what they heard out of somebody else's heart. So today, I just hope that's you. Amen? You should say amen. Revelation 12, we always share this verse, 10 through 12 says this. It has come at last, salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to the earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. Who's the accuser? Yeah, the enemy. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb, by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. And so that scripture just said that the enemy is thrown down. This is the final judgment coming upon the enemy, and God's people have defeated him because of the blood of the Lamb. We already have that, the blood of Jesus. Amen? The third one is they didn't love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. This could be a physical death, the voice and heart of a martyr, but it can also be for Americans who need to die to themselves. Give up their stuff, give up their things for the kingdom, the hold that it has on them. Amen? But the middle one, it says by their testimony. Like, you can see God use your testimony. You know, I don't have a very good testimony. I've been a believer since I was a baby. Are you kidding me? You have been walking with Jesus since you were a kid, and by his grace and glory, you love and follow Jesus. That's not a good story. That's the anthem of what I want for my kids. They don't have to do this. They don't have to do what you did. That is an amazing testimony. You hear that humming noise? You're all still here. I don't think it's the Lord coming back for us. I think maybe it might be Steve's guitar. Probably is. Say, everybody say, thanks, Steve. Anyway. So this morning, we're just coming to share. We've got three beautiful people that are going to come and share testimonies. We have once in a while, we have a what I call a retail, an updated version. And so people who have given testimonies here over the last 9 years, God hasn't stopped working in their lives. Last night, I talked about this, like in that text we preached in a couple of weeks ago in Isaiah 53, where God says, remember when I brought you through the attack of Pharaoh following and chasing after you. Remember when I parted the Red Sea and you walked through and I destroyed your enemies? And then the next verse says, remember not the things of old, but behold, I am doing a new thing. Like, testimonies are continuing. Amen? So you're continuing. And some of us start to worship the story we had back then. Man, I remember 10 years ago when God set me free. Remember that when I gave my life to Jesus? Yeah, that's great, but what about now? God said he's doing a new thing. What is the continuance of your testimony? What is God doing in you now? I said last night, I was like, man, my salvation was amazing. But you know what's cooler than what my salvation, or not cooler, let me say this. You know what God is adding? You know, my children are following after Jesus. My son wants to go to the nations and follow after him. Our church is growing and moving. My marriage is healing more and more every day. I'm working on childhood issues that I haven't been set free. My testimony is continuing. It doesn't stop. So you are a walking, talking testimony of God's living grace and will, right? And let me say this. I'll say it again. I said it a few weeks ago. Don't you shortchange what God's going to do by what he's done. There's a better thing coming for every single one of us. Your testimony is the pivot point, but it's not the only point. Amen? And so today we have people come back and share. And so we have three people coming today. One is Heidi Lavender. Give it up for Heidi Lav. who's got a minor testimony to share with us? And then we also have Laura Wilhite and Tony Bedford coming this morning to share their testimonies. And so I'm just there. And just remember, they're all very nervous, just like you were when you were up here. So give them grace. You remember that you're just sharing with family. Amen. And so this morning we just wanted you to hear what God's been doing in the church besides the preacher and besides buildings and stuff like that, and actually hear from the mouths of the church. Amen. So this morning, our first person to share her heart this morning with an amazing story and testimony of her family is Heidi Lavender. Would you guys welcome Heidi?
I grew up in a small town with a church-going family. I said a prayer and was baptized at the age of 6. The problem was I was also going through emotional and physical and very horrific sexual abuse at the same time. I did not understand who God really is. I continued to live my life trying to be good enough. I lived with undiagnosed complex PTSD, major depressive disorder, and borderline personality disorder. I continued to do all the right things, but I never felt like I was loved by God, let alone anyone else. I struggled for many years. I struggled with drinking, cutting, sexual identity, you name it. Except for hard drugs, I did it. Eventually, I attempted suicide. I understood logically that my abuse was not my fault, but in my heart, I blamed myself, and because of my abuse, I didn't feel like I should exist. I believed that my only use in life was to be sexually abused. I spent many years in and out of psychiatric hospitals and had multiple suicide attempts. In the last few years, I have made leaps and bounds in understanding that God did not cause my abuse. But something was still missing. I attempted suicide one last time and ended up going to a long-term psychiatric hospital in New Orleans. It was there that I realized that I was created for a reason and that I had a right to exist like everybody else. I would say that was the point that I gave everything to Christ. Over the last few months, I've been working on knowing God as my Father and that I don't have to work so hard or work at all to gain his favor. You see, knowing God's love and because he created me is just what it's about. Knowing that Christ died for me and that he had me in mind when he died makes a huge difference. Knowing that I exist simply to be me and because I am me, I bring glory to God. God has brought me through a lot and continues to do so. I would not be where I am today in this journey without my restored family. I can say that without restored, I would be dead. My church family has its issues just like I do, but we love God and we love people and we try our best to glorify God in all we do. We will not be perfect, but that's okay. Don't give up on yourself and don't give up on God and what he can do. My testimony would not be complete if I did not tell you that God loves you and that he loves you just where you are. You don't have to do anything to gain his favor. He loves you for you, and he died for you because he loves you. You don't have to wait until you are good enough. It won't happen. God loves you, and he always has, and he always will. You have to give up your hurts and your agenda and your pride and enter into his loving arms. He is waiting to scoop you up into his arms and never let you go. He fiercely loves you and can and does fight for you. He will never let you go because God is always good and God always loves you. And okay, that's what I have written, but there's some things in my head that I have going on. And one of them is like, when we say that God fights for us, like he is not just like, oh, he's there, you know, that kind of thing. Like, he's just there, and he's, I don't know how to explain it. He's just like this big God that can conquer anything, and we gotta let that go, that it's us doing something. Our God goes before us, and when I say he goes before us, he's already there. He knows what's going to happen next, and he's already there preparing for when you're there. I don't know, you guys. God has just totally changed my life, and when I said that I'd be dead, physically I would be dead if it wasn't for Restored and their prayers and how they've helped me and my family. And I have put my family through so much, just with the suicide attempts and stuff, and just like trying to figure out my sexual identity and that crisis. I almost left my family. I don't know. I just want you guys to understand that God changes lives, and he continues to change lives. And I grew up in the church, and I had stuff going on, but God didn't just stop there. You know, I always knew that there was a God, even though I was going through all these things. And God has blessed me with a Christian therapist that is helping me learn these things. If it wasn't for the way God has lined up every thing, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I don't know, I just want you guys to know who God is and what his love is, and that he cares for you, and that he fiercely protects you. And I did not know how much he protected me when I was this six-year-old little girl being sexually abused. But I know that now. He was there, and he did. He scooped me up, and he held me in his arms, and he said, I love you. So I got a couple of verses. Isaiah 49:1, the Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb, he called me by name. Psalm 38:9, Lord, you know all my desires and my deepest longings. My words are liquid tears, and you read them all. Psalm 116, 4 through 5. I cried out to the Lord, God, save me. He was so kind and so gracious to me because of his passion towards me. He made everything right, and he restored me. Okay. I guess that's it.
Stay right here. Stay right here. Lord, we just thank you for this girl. God, I remember days during service where my heart, like many people in this room, were skipping a beat because Heidi had tried to take her life, and the doctor said she was gone. She was going to leave very soon. And Lord, all we could do was pray. And then in the middle of that minute, God, you touched her and brought her back to life. All the time that we've just spent longing, God, for her to be set free, and just sort of calling out to you, Jesus, and you have been faithful. Heidi is still here. God, she is continuing to be restored. And God, your glory is just shining through her and her family. God, thank you. Lord, we just pray for the next step, the what's next. God, we pray physical healing over Heidi and all these new manifestations that have been hurting her body lately, and her feet and her arms. And God, we just pray healing, God, that you would just touch her, Lord Jesus, and set her mind free of the pain and those things what the devil can do, but bring physical healing to her body. Lord, we just believe by faith that you can do that and will. God, we praise you for this girl and this part of our family. Lord, we pray that we thank you that you're not done with her yet. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's give it up for High Lav. How many of you remember those days? God is good. Amen. Amen. As we continue on our journey this morning, Laura, I don't know if you guys have got to know Laura very much, but she is an amazing lady. She has a, she's never fully told people this story, ever, even the people close to her. And so this morning, she's just coming to share a little bit of her journey with the Lord. And so you can prayerfully and hold her up with confidence this morning that she's going to do amazing. Well, Lord, welcome Laura Wilhide to come share her.
Thank you. Okay, I'm nervous. Thank you. Okay. Even as a child, I cannot remember ever feeling safe or happy. Almost every day I lived in fear and pain. As I went through years of abuse from my mother and sexual abuse from my stepfather, I came from a very big family, 14 brothers and sisters. I just couldn't believe that everyone knew what was going on, but no one cared. I guess it was around that time that I decided I wouldn't care about me either. I dropped out of school and started working and doing as well as selling drugs at age 13. Drugs was now how I it was how I numbed my pain. I didn't care from that moment on that I would be known as an addict. At age 15, I had my first child. And because of that, I was kicked out of church, or disfellowshipped is what they called it. I grew up a Jehovah's Witness, mostly because I was forced to by my grandmother. I grew up knowing about God, I just never knew God. So I got kicked out. I was an ultimate sinner, is what my grandmother said. Shortly after I gave birth to my son Malachi, I remember being pregnant and praying for God to take the baby. He was the product of rape, so I didn't want him. He was born 3 months early, and the first time I laid eyes on him, I fell in love. So I began to pray for God to give me more time with him. 2 months later, I got to hold him in my arms as he took his last breath. Just when I didn't think I could feel any more pain, I get stabbed in the heart by it. And I think from that moment on, I was a walking zombie. I was so empty inside. Years later, the man I decided to be with was once my best friend, and for years he was also my drug dealer. So after we got together and I found myself basically married to the mob, he was the head of the cartel in Oklahoma. I became his partner in so many ways. I ran drugs for him. I cooked drugs for him. I also collected debts for him. For years, I did horrible things to people. Everything you see or hear about them on TV is an understatement. I had a hand in and witnessed so much pain, torture, death on so many lives. Everywhere we went, I had to look over my shoulder. To me, it seemed as if he enjoyed hurting people, but I think he enjoyed hurting me the most. I suffered severe abuse from him and his family. And the result of staying with him, I lost my kids, my family, my name, my self-worth, and my mind. I finally reached the point where I wanted out. I remember praying for God to take my life. It took 3.5 years of running and hiding and moving state to state to get away. You see, the only way out of that life, out of that world, is death. I moved to Kansas, did a collection job for someone, and for the first time I got caught, ended up going to prison. All alone, no friends, no family, no one. No one to call, no one to write, no one. I can remember the exact moment God answered my prayers. It was visitation day, and every single person got a visit but me. I remember a little old lady said to me on her way out to go to the room and with all my heart pray and talk to God. So I did. I started to cry out to God on my knees. Why, Lord? Why am I all alone? And why does no one love me? Were my exact words. Just as I closed my eyes, I heard a strong, deep, but so soft voice say to me, "But Laura, I love you." Just then, with my eyes closed, I saw a bright light, and in bold black letters, the words, "You are never alone," appeared. Instantly, the pain in my heart stopped. Calmness fell over me, and I felt a feeling I'd never felt before. I felt peace. Even the taste of the tears streaming down my face went from bitter to sweet. Years of hurt and pain and heartache disappeared. All I ever wanted was to be loved, truly loved. And at that moment, I realized I was the whole time. An hour passed by, and visitation was over. Upon her return, the same woman told me, out of the blue and not having no idea of what just happened to me, told me to go and try to call my father. I haven't spoken to him in so long, but I listened. And to my surprise, he answered. He told me how sorry he was for not being there for me and promised that I would never be left alone again. That was the moment the fire inside of me was lit. I've been on fire for God from that moment on. In the last 8 months, one by one, all of my prayers have been answered. I prayed for God to take my life, and I truly believe that he did. For I am not the same I am not the same old person I used to be. I am a born-again Christian. Every evil thing that I have come up against, instantly God moves mountains to shut it down. For if God is with you, then who can be against you? I prayed for a family. I prayed to belong. I prayed for a good Christian man. And I remember the first conversation Tony and I had was about how amazing God was. God brought me to Restored, and this is where I belong. He also gave all of you to me as my family. I believe God answers all of your prayers. They just look a little different. I am now going to school full time. I start my new job at Wesley Hospital next week. I love working in the nursery, and I can proudly say I've been clean and sober for 2 years now. I know what I want to do with my life. I want to help save as many people as God allows me to. Happiness to me was the same as the stars in the sky, impossible to reach. And now I walk around with stars in my pocket. For I am truly happy and truly blessed. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood that test, that person will receive the crown of life." I am blessed to have gone through what I have gone through. For I now have the strength to not fear what is to come. For I am a warrior for our Lord Jesus Christ. I have been many things in my life, but above all, I was or used to be, I am now as I was then and always will be, the daughter of the Most High God.
Let's pray. Lord, we love this girl. Lord, I'm so proud of her for sharing her story. God, it just stirs my heart. Lord, just to give you praise even more. God, thank you that, Lord, you put the lonely in families, your scripture said, and Lord, it's a huge testimony that God bringing her out of the clutch of cults and abuse, Lord Jesus, loneliness in prison and jail and dope and thugs. Lord, we pray, thank you, God, for saving this girl. Thank you for bringing her here. Lord, thank you for opening the doors of heaven. And Lord, we pray that these days coming ahead of her, God, the story would increase, Lord Jesus. Her relationship with her children, Lord Jesus, would heal, Lord Jesus. Her relationships with people in her past, her family, God, will continue to grow, Lord God, and be healed. And we pray, Lord, that you are not done with her yet and that you have things in your heart for her. So, God, I pray that she would see them. Holy Spirit, fall on her. Protect her from the enemy. And, God, we are so proud of her as her family. Just ask us in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Come on, stand up and give God some praise on that thing. Come on. Dang. God is good. Amen. Yeah, amen. God's good. So we continue to move this morning through these cool stories. Last but not least, if you guys know, Tony came to a men's retreat last year. He was how many days out of jail? Three? 2 days out of jail. He'll share some of that story, but we just started loving on Tony and from the beginning, and he started coming over and hang, and he just has been family ever since. And he and Laura were baptized here not too long ago in this last year, and so we're just praising the Lord for that. And so this morning, the man with many names, we welcome Tony Bedford to come up and share with us this morning.
God is good. You know, when I was writing this, I kept writing and I realized that there's just, in my childhood, there was just nothing but pain. I couldn't really write anything anything positive in my childhood, but it gets better. The very first memory that I can remember is my mom leaving my dad when I was 4 years old. I still remember not understanding why. After my parents split up, my mom started going to the bar all the time, and I remember being 6 years old, calling the bar, crying, looking for my mom every night. Having random men staying over every night made me so angry for that age. I just turned into an angry kid. But my mom made sure I had food and shelter, and she was very loving. My mom was always my best friend. I was my grandma and grandpa's favorite, and I was always with them. My grandpa owned two bars, a boutique, convenience store, and a bunch of houses, and it was all from drug money. My grandpa was a great guy. He raised 16 kids that wasn't his. My grandpa, my dad, and all my uncles were part of an organization. The very first murder I ever witnessed was at 9 years old, and there was many to go after that. My grandpa ended up going to prison when I was 9, and I was heartbroken. My dad got married and had a son, so I finally had a brother when I was 11. I was so excited, but I still haven't met him yet, because my dad just got up one day and moved to Nebraska when I was 10. But we still talked on the phone. On my 12th birthday, my cousin Jay came and got me and said everyone is at my grandma's waiting for me. I thought it was a birthday party. I walk in and everyone is crying. My mom tells me that my dad, brother, and stepmom was killed on the way to see me for my birthday. And the car got hit by a train. That moment, my mind just went blank. I didn't cry. That anger just came back. I later found out that my family was murdered by the cartel, the same organization I would later work for. I started looking for something to be part of, so I started gangbang. I gave my life, my loyalty, my life to the streets. My grandpa got out of prison when I was 15, and that's when things started really, really going crazy. He got me plugged in the organization. My mom got addicted to crack because we was living with a dope dealer at the time. She ended up choosing dope and him over me, so she kicked me out. I was only 15. I remember growing up, just being so young, hands on my hands and knees, just crying, just talking and praying, not knowing who I was praying to. Being homeless, mom messed up, just everything going on in my life. I was just so broken. And I remember sitting in the middle of this field with a 357, just crying. And I started talking to God, never acknowledging him before. I put the gun in my mouth and pulled the trigger and nothing happened. I checked the bullets and gun, everything looked fine. Then all of a sudden, I just felt great, good, relaxed. Tears in my eyes, just I couldn't help but to smile. I know now that was the first time I ever experienced the Holy Spirit. At 15, I got my own apartment, finished school. I was still gangbanging, hustling. I made a lot of money, a lot of enemies. I made a lot of bad choices and witnessed a lot of bad things. When I was 20, I had my daughter, Angel. That was one of the best days that's ever happened to me. She gave me what I've been missing, and that was love. She was my world. I started getting straight. I bought a house. I was working good job, making good money. Everything seemed normal for once. And then my daughter's mom and I split up. And once again, I was heartbroken. I lost my family again. So I started hustling again, and I was also a debt collector for my uncle. Collection ended up being bad, and I ended up getting 12 felonies out of it. While in county, I was sitting in the day room, and an old man walked in with a bag. He sat down and stayed with a smile on his face. He sat there for 2 hours, and everyone ignored him. It's funny, because it seemed like nobody could see him there. Nobody knew who he was. So I walked up, and he reached into a bag and pulled out a little brown book. It said Psalms and Proverbs. He got up and started to walk out. I asked if he was leaving. He said, yes, I did what I came to do. And I never seen him again after that. I spent all my time reading out of that little brown book. I've never seen a Bible, touched a Bible, even read anything out of a Bible. I prayed and asked God for another chance. I went to court 3 weeks in a row, and the judge had to let me out because they couldn't find my file. It's a true story. God answered my prayer. I was straight, narrow for a year, and slowly started getting back into the game. I broke my promise to God, and I regret that to this day. I truly believe that where you find God at, and if you lose sight of him, he will bring you back to the same place you found him. So I got pulled over, and charges came back up. I was back in the same county, in the same cell. A man named Manfred would come and lead Bible studies at the county. I would never sit with anybody or with everybody. I would sit back in the back and just listen. He wouldn't let me ignore him, though. He just started coming and talking to me. And then he's the one that truly introduced me to the Word of God. He gave me my first real Bible, and I loved every minute of it. One day he had tears in his eyes, and he said, "You are going to be a general in God's army." He said, "God has always heard me. He's always loved me. I've never been alone. And I will build his great army." I ended up going to prison, in a maximum security prison, for 9 years. No phone calls, letters, and once again, no family. So I lost sight of Christ, because you can't show no weakness where I was at. So I gave my loyalty to my homeboys. I rose up in ranks. I ended up being a shot caller for 3 years, and we were just ruthless. But it never felt right. I was always missing something. I couldn't figure out what it was, and I just couldn't ignore it. So I started looking. I started getting back into the Word, and everything got so much clearer. Turned my back on my homeboys and ended up almost getting killed for it. But I knew nothing was going to stop me from getting to know my Father. I was at my last 6 months and needed to get my release plan going. I got approved to go back home with my cousin. I kept getting applications from this organization called Firm Foundations and kept throwing them away. So on the third application, I figured, well, this is a shot. So I filled it out. 2 weeks later, I was interviewed by Matt Thomas, and I sat there and listened to every word he said. I knew without a doubt what I was supposed to do, but I still had doubt. I still was going to parole to my cousins and try that out first. 2 months before I was to get out, I was told my parole changed. My counselor said he didn't change it, he didn't know how it got changed, and it's too late to change it back. I was paroling to Firm Foundations. So I get out after 9 years in prison to a city I don't know about, not knowing anyone. My second day out, I was dragged to a men's retreat. I was a little weird at first. I had men coming up to me, wanting to get to know me, telling me they love me, hugging me, just all smiles, and that's not something I'm used to at all. I'm used to being around hate, negativity, frowns, pain. First night there, I met a guy named Jeff White, and we couldn't be so different, but he was just so cool. I went to 6 different churches, but I was ignored. I felt like I was ignored. I don't know if it was because of my parents or what. Then I was invited to Restored, and I was so amazed at the love these people have for each other and everyone else around them. I was instantly welcomed into the family, into their family, and I've never felt loved like that before, not even by my own family. I was once hurt, betrayed, always angry. Everyone. I lost everyone and everything. I gave up and just gave it to the Lord. I got a text from this guy named Jason Lavender asking if I'd like to go to lunch. I thought it was a little crazy because I didn't know who this guy was at all. And he wanted to take me to lunch. Then he asked me if I wanted a job. He hired me before he even met me through a text message. He's been my mentor, my boss, my best friend since. He is a true blessing in my life. That is the love that I get from people around me now. And it's amazing. I've been adopted by a king into a family that I've been searching for my whole life. I'm now running multiple Firm Foundations homes. I'm the assistant director of Firm Foundations now. And it's a home that builds up soldiers for Christ. I know what loyalty, honor, and obedience is, but I was doing it for the wrong reasons. Everything I've experienced was for a much greater purpose, and I thank God for all the pain and all the sorrow I've witnessed. And I am without a doubt going to fulfill that purpose through Christ. I love God. I love my new family. I love all y'all. I just want to love everyone now. I went from this hardcore gangbanger cartel guy to a guy that who just wants to hug you and pray with you. The Holy Spirit works through me every day, and it's an awesome feeling that I never want to let go of. Everything and everyone that I've lost has been given back to me tenfold. I lost my family, but received a much greater one. I lost my father, but always had a greater father. Jesus has truly restored everything about me, and I will not fail at my purpose. Thank you guys for letting me share, and I love every one of y'all.
Lord, we just thank you for this man. Lord, I thank you that when you knit him together in his mama's womb, Lord, it wasn't for destruction and being a gangster. Lord, it was for your glory. And Lord, you've brought him through, and he's had to go through horrific things. But Lord, you've been there with him every second, every step of the way, God, building something in his heart that couldn't have been there any other way. So Lord, we praise you for this man. Lord, we pray, and we just, as a family, Lord, we walk with him through these next steps, these next days. And I pray that as he continues to follow after you, Lord, you would just, God, protect him from temptation. You would protect him from the things that would pull at him, protect him from, Lord, being self-sustained, Lord Jesus, but you would just, God, increase his faith and measure. Lord, you would build his heart, protect him. Lord, give us to stand with him in everything and anything he goes through. And Lord, that you would continue to use him. I believe that general statement. Lord Jesus, you're going to use him to lead soldiers, God, in this army. And Lord, we volunteer alongside of our brother, God, his family. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this man. And we praise you. Continue to bless him, Lord. We just ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. I don't know what I know a lot of us come from pretty traditional backgrounds and haven't done church for a long time, but when I hear stuff like that, one place I would like to be recklessly abandoned in is our worship and praise of God when we see miracles. Amen? I don't know what you think that just happened in heaven by that, but I guarantee you it wasn't reserved, and I guarantee you it wasn't quiet. And I guarantee you, they weren't holding anything back. So, not to sound weird, but can we just yell and give God a shout of praise for what we just heard? Amen? Yes, Amen. Ooh, God is good. Amen. So, we wrap up today. I always want to end with this, like, you just heard three stories of sexual abuse, drug cartels, dope slinging, brokenness, family lostness. You tell me anywhere in the midst of those stories, what's going on in your life that Jesus can't break, penetrate, and restore? Come on. I don't know what the devil's been lying to you about, but you are so significant to the kingdom of heaven that he created you and gave his son for your redemption. That's why we do this. That's by the power of what we do here. Ain't nobody too far gone. Number one, there ain't nobody in this room that's too far gone. And number two, there's nobody out there that God is calling us to that's too far gone. This is why we pray prayers like, God, send us to the people no one else wants and send us to the places no one else wants to go. That is the anthem in the heart of Restored. We want to go. We want this every week. We want this every day because it's God's glory and he gets it all. Amen? And so you guys heard testimony of what it is, not only to see God work, but what it is to be an actual Holy Spirit-filled family who walks with people. Amen? We're not perfect. Sometimes we miss things. Sometimes we don't. We just, the pastor's jacked up, whatever. But God is good, and we need each other. Amen? As we get ready to worship and close our time today, I just want to just give you a minute just to think. Man, the catalyst of praise is what God has done in your life. Like, what has he done? What has God done in your life? And how much this week did you take time to reflect on it? How much time did you sit there before the Lord on purpose this week and say, there's so many things in front of me, God, but God, you're so good to me. God, you just saved me, God, and for that alone I could praise you for eternity. God, you're doing, even though I can't see it in my kids, God, I trust you that you're doing it because you saved me. Lord Jesus, you're working. For some of you who feel like you've messed up so much you can't get up, there's no such thing. There's no such thing if you hold on to the tail of Jesus. Hold on to his garment. Hold on to the cross. There's no such thing as too far gone, too many mistakes. Just grace and opportunity through his Holy Spirit. Amen? So as we worship, we're going to open up a time of communion on both sides of the stage. For those of you who are believers and following after Jesus, this time of remembrance, exactly what I'm talking about, remembering the cross, that's like the pin tip of your story is the blood of Jesus dipped in his blood, and he writes out your redemption. That's what we remember when we take communion. Amen? But I also want to give an opportunity today, if you need prayer If you've never surrendered your life to this God that works miracles, I know some of y'all have been battling through this stuff lately. The Lord is ready now to receive your heart and become the Lord of your life. And as you surrender, he takes over. You're not losing anything but death, and you're not gaining everything except life and hope. Amen? And so we're going to have people that want to pray for you. Stand up if you're willing to pray for people this morning. Some over there, some of our prayer team. Let's just worship, and I really long for this time to be less people singing and more ministry time. We're asking the Holy Spirit to come, and we want you guys, if you feel led to pray for people, if you see somebody struggling, to go pray over them, and let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come and work his thing in this time. Amen? We just heard the miraculous stories of God's restoration, and there's more to be done in this place today. Amen? So let's stand, and let's just pray together. God, people can say what they want about your word. We know what your word is. They can say it's just some man-made thing, Lord, just written out with nice ideas and weird stories, Lord, but it's different for us because this is the word made flesh in this room. God, this is miracles. God, you save. You bring new life. We see it. We heard it. We are it. We receive it. We're the story. God, you are good. Lord, we know you can change the city because you changed us. We know you can change the nations because you changed us. There's nobody beyond your reach, Lord Jesus. And we are living testimony of that. You heal the broken places. You put the lonely in families. You rescue those who need rescuing, God. You are the Savior of the world, and you are here. You're not in the sky, some far and distant God. You're with us right now, tweaking and pulling and calling out to people's hearts to surrender. And for some of us who have surrendered, to remember the glory of what you brought us out of. We need to go backwards to move forwards. We need to remember that minute when we hit our knee. We need to remember how good you've been, how much you've whispered in our ear, pulled us out of destruction, saved our children. Lord, we need to remember, and we need to worship you because of it. God, we thank you for these three beautiful children of God today that we heard from today. We heard your heart, your story, your tale, your truth. God, you're so worthy. But Lord, we also pray for the stories in this room today that will continue and change today because of what you've done in the sermon of their lives. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would come right now. God, bring conviction, bring encouragement, bring words of encouragement to others to give to others in this room. God, speak over us right now. God, and we surrender this time to you, Lord Jesus. We come into your communion to remember you. God, we just invite you to take this and lead us. God, come. Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. And God, we praise you for what you're about to do. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.